Thanks. So the one key word that he mentioned in the presentation is failing fast. I'm going to have a lot of examples of failing. I failed a lot in my career, and I feel like when I come to these conferences and events, everyone talks about their successes and how amazing their programs are. That's great. I've done a lot of great, amazing programs, but I've also failed at a lot of my programs, too. And I have to say that the ones where I learn the most from is actually when I fail. So we're going to talk a lot about failure and how it's actually really okay to fail. So I work for a division of the Campbell Soup Company called Campbell Fresh. So for those of you that don't know, Campbell Fresh is a division that represents brands that all sit within the perimeter of the aisle. So think about food that's packaged fresh, food that sits in the produce section, deli and dairy. So the Campbell's America division, which is based out of Camden, New Jersey, represents things that are center of the store. So some of the more traditional brands you guys have probably heard of, Campbell Soup, Pace, and some of the pasta sauces. So the brands that I represent, one of them happens to be Bolthouse Farms, and that's actually what I want to talk to you guys about today, focusing specifically on Bolthouse Farms. So really quickly, show of hands, how many of you are familiar or have heard of Bolthouse Farms brand? Okay, that's a little less than half the room. Okay, what about Naked Juice? How many have heard about Naked Juice? Okay, yep, all right, this exercise is working. Odwalla, anyone heard of Odwalla? Okay, so probably in the middle. So Bolthouse is definitely, just so you guys know, Bolthouse was at the bottom, as I expected. Naked Juice was at the highest. So you guys perfectly were able to show to me exactly what our number one business challenge is, and that's really brand awareness. And when I think about brand awareness to me is making sure that people are aware of the product and what they're drinking. What are you drinking right now? Ugh. Ugh. Killing me, you're killing me. I know we should have brought Bolthouse in here. So number one issue is distribution. So because Naked is owned by Coca-Cola, they've got massive distribution. You can find them at the airport. You can find them in your movie theater. So back to what awareness means to us, it's people understanding who we are as a brand and what we stand for, right? And recognizing when they're drinking the product that we do stand for something. So I want to give you guys that context around our business challenge because I think it feeds in really nicely into the story that I want to share with you guys. Because awareness is our number one challenge, and because we're owned by Campbell's, not a Coca-Cola or a PepsiCo, we don't have a lot of money. We don't. I know people think Campbell's is this massive organization. It is, but they've really left us alone, and by leaving us alone, that means they haven't given us any marketing budget. And if I were to tell you right now what percentage our marketing budget is, you guys would roll over and laugh. It's literally pathetic. But that's okay, because we see ourselves as a challenger brand, and as a challenger brand that is up against the Naked and Odwallas, that forces us, it absolutely forces us to be more innovative, to be more bold in all of the marketing programs that we have to do. We have to do things faster and we have to do things cheaper. We'll go into the story of how we do all that, but I think it's really important to start with context about who we are as a brand. So let's start with this lovely little video.
In the grand scheme of things, we're small potatoes, you and us. We're just one company. Farmers, basically. We grow stuff, ship it, and then grow some more. You're just a person. You go to the store, buy stuff, and eat it. So how can we change a world that gets unhealthier every day? Where moms have to choose between quick and easy and the right thing to do. Where double-stuffed, rainbow-sprinkled splunkaroos define fun for the youngest of the young. Where kids turn their noses up at healthy stuff because bad-for-you food just seems so cool. What can we do to set things right? We're just cogs in the wheel. We can't change the world. But maybe we all have a greater destiny. Who, if not us small potatoes, has their heads on straight? Who knows more about what people want and need? Who's more capable of change on a massive scale? Folks, we all have something at stake here. We're a company that gets healthier as people get healthier. And you'll enjoy a better life when people around you are healthier. We're on our way. Fresh thinking has always been part of our DNA. We're already working to get fruits and veggies a seat at the cool kids table. But together, we can do it on a bigger scale. You and us, we can be agents of social change. Right on the front lines, where the toughest food battles are fought. In our homes, our neighborhoods, even our schools. We'll be remembered not just for what we say, but what we do. We'll make the impractical practical. The far away, close at hand. The unaffordable, affordable. We'll be a partner to those who share our dream. An example for those who don't. Friend to mom, foe to those in her way. Standing for something big. Giving others the courage to stand with us. Leaving in our wake healthy bodies, active minds, vibrant lives. Oh, we'll pull it off. We have the power.
So with this video, you saw a little bit of our history. You know, we started off as carrot farmers at the very kind of basic in 1915. Those are essential roots, carrot farmers. We grew carrots. So chances are if you're eating baby carrots, you're eating Bolthouse Farms baby carrots. We then graduated into juices, smoothies, and now we have a pretty robust juice line. So I think a couple of things just on that, as far as us being carrot farmers, that has given us the license to really understand that it's time to start this fruit and vegetable revolution. We're trying to be more than just a brand that has products. We want to be a brand that lives and breathes a mission because we do have that root and that heritage as carrot farmers since 1915. So a couple years ago, right after the Campbell's acquisition took place, a bunch of people sat in a room and said, okay, we've got to stand for more than just being a product. Who are we? What do we believe? What is our mission? What is our value? And let's make sure that everything that we do, from marketing programs to product innovation to how we even treat each other internally, is rooted in those missions and value. So it really comes down to this. It's about starting, and you heard this in the video, a fruit and vegetable revolution. So it's a revolution that changes how people think about, eat, and use fruits and vegetables, and once and for all, we want to be the brand and the company that's going to do it. So as part of that exercise, we came up with our mission. I'm going to go straight down to the bottom, which is really, I think, the one most important line from this entire slide, which is we will help inspire the fresh revolution. This slide hangs on everyone's desk in the office in Bakersfield, which is where our corporate office is, all the carrot farms are, and Santa Monica, which is the marketing satellite office. We literally live and breathe this mission. I highly encourage you to actually Google our president, Jeffrey Dunn. I actually have a funny little story. Are there any Coca-Cola people in here? I'm just curious. Okay, good. This will make this even more special. So Jeff Dunn, who's our president, used to work for Coca-Cola. He worked for the company for about 30 years. His dad was some like senior level sales guy. And Jeff was on his way up. He was on his way up to get, you know, that key position at Coca-Cola. And he ended up leaving. He ended up leaving that job. And he's now president of C-Fresh. And there's an awesome Fast Company article about him saying that he feels like he literally has this karmic debt to pay back to society for selling sugar water for kids to kids for as long as he did. So he's a really inspiring guy, and he's really the one that's kind of uplifting and helping lead this charge of inspiring the fresh revolution. Our values. This is another slide that I literally have hanging right next to my desk, and I look at it every single day. This is the thing that I use to make calls on things that might not feel right and that might feel uncomfortable, but I always go back to this slide, and these are our values. So I'm gonna go through each one super quickly. So the first one, rooted in quality. So I would argue that this is probably more relevant to the products that we push out to consumers that you can find in grocery stores. But the thing that I love at the very end of rooted in quality is that it's about making products more accessible, available, and affordable. You're not going to go to the grocery store and find our juices and have to pay $10 for a juice. You can get our juices at Walmart. You can get them at Target. You can get them at not just a specialty store. And I think that really speaks to that rooted in quality and this idea about accessibility, availability, and affordability. The second one, motivated by greater good. You know, our social media strategy is totally rooted in this. If a consumer is coming to any one of our channels and has a question, I don't care what that question is, we've got to be there answering the question back within an hour, because we know that community is our top priority. So when I first came on board and was trying to develop what our social media strategy was, it was so easy. I just went straight to our values to remind me that this was the right thing to do. The last two are actually things that I'm going to focus on as part of this discussion, and I'm going to show you three programs that we've launched over the past couple of years that really tie back to what I said earlier about us being a challenger brand, about us needing to be bold and agile and innovative in order to break through the clutter and to really challenge the Naked and Odwallas. So it's creativity matters. Everything that we do is we believe in the power of innovation to connect people with fresher food. All of our marketing programs have to do the exact same thing. Brand of bold action. This is one that I think I love the most, because this gives us the license to do really crazy shit. And when I say that, you're about to see exactly what I'm talking about. So I always kind of hold this last one, brand of bold action, to my boss. And I always remind her that, okay, if we're a brand of bold action, we really have to live and breathe what we say we want to be. So I always bring that back and show that to her face. And she's like, okay, you're right, you're right. So this is a good bargaining chip for me to have. So let's go on to our three pillars. So our three pillars within our content strategy is really rooted in fresh food, fresh ideas, and fresh product. So that's kind of, when we talk about our values, I would say the next level down are these three content pillars. So if you look at our social media channels, you'll see that everything we do really falls within one of these three content pillars. But the first program that I actually want to talk about is this thing called the Food Porn Index. I'm going to very quickly show you how the Food Porn Index works. The Food Porn Index is basically a real-time view of food porn that's posted on Twitter and Instagram. So what we did is we got a direct feed through the API into Twitter and Instagram to get a sense of how much good food was being posted on Twitter and Instagram versus bad food. So this is literally a real-time view, and as you could see, if I click the this is the good side. Good side is fruits and vegetables. Bad side are things like cookies and pizza. Just quick show of hands, how many people post food porn? Okay. Really? That's it? Okay, maybe it's a fading trend. This was very popular a couple years ago. So point being is we were able to grab all these hashtags, and within 15 minutes it would constantly update and show how many people were posting good food porn versus bad food porn. Many of you would probably ask the question, why the hell would we create something like a food porn index and throw this out into the world to show good food versus bad food? And the reason is because this exactly matched up to our mission of inspiring the fresh revolution. We wanted to show people that there is way too much bad food being posted on the web, and that's a reflection of us in our real life. So let's flip the switch. Let's challenge convention. Let's do something differently. Let's try to raise the good side, and let's try to post more images of fruits and vegetables instead of images of bacon and burgers. So when this idea was proposed to the senior leadership team, you can imagine that they freaked out because of the porn word, right? They were like, there's no way this is passing through legal. And I think there was just a bunch of us, again, that went back to, well, if we're a brand of bold action and creativity matters, this has got to be pushed through. So it went through, and we went on a journey with the legal team and senior leadership to make sure that they felt comfortable with it, and we launched it. We basically built this website, launched it for $60,000, and we had no media plan surrounding it. We just said, we're going to throw it out there, see what happens. I'm glad we did that because luckily through this initiative and because it was so bold, we got picked up by the New York Times. So we got a pretty amazing spread on the advertising and marketing section of the New York Times. And as you can imagine, once you're on the New York Times, everyone else, all other publications just roll right in. So within the first 2 months of launching this website, without any media activation, without any media plan, which people thought we were crazy for doing, it got over 200,000 hits to the website. And again, that's with no paid media support. So again, this was just something that we felt was very much us. The only risk was in food porn, but we just at that point said, if we're bold, if we're creative, we've got to just go for it. Now, I think where we failed, unfortunately, is because we got so much press and attention and people discovered our brand, by the way, that New York Times article mentioned Bolthouse Farms within the first paragraph of that article. So in our minds, it was successful because we found that we would rather have people, consumers, discover our brand through an entity like a New York Times versus a paid media ad on ESPN.com. Back to what I was saying earlier, like, what do we stand for? That really meant a lot to us. But unfortunately, what happened when we wanted to then relaunch it a year later, we did a couple things wrong. First of all, we said, well, let's relaunch it because we want even more people to see it. Not enough people were exposed to it. If you know, we launched it without a media plan, what would it be like if we launched it with a traditional media plan? So we did that, and another thing we did is we changed the name from food porn to You Are What You Post. Unfortunately, by changing the name and moving away from something very bold and innovative like food porn to You Are What You Post, obviously it just did not get the attention it needed or deserved. The second thing is, because we took a much more traditional approach, I bought banner ads on ESPN.com to drive to the website, it completely failed. So I think what that reminded me was, you know, in instances like this and with websites like this, sometimes challenging convention and doing things that feels uncomfortable sometimes really is the right thing to do. And for $60,000, our risk was low. All right, let's move on to another program that we did. This next one is actually called the Instagram program, which is all about couponing. Okay, so here's another situation where a bunch of us were sitting in a room, and I remember sitting, to my left was the data person, to my right was the brand manager. And they were just harshly debating coupons and whether or not couponing was the right way to get people to try the brand. And it was just this long, drawn out debate. And I was like, oh my God, guys, please stop talking. Like, there was just piles and piles of data about why we should or shouldn't do couponing. And finally, a couple of us were just like, okay, guys, enough. Let's just test a new approach to couponing. Because I think the data person was saying that, well, your consumer audience doesn't use coupons. And then the brand manager was like, but yes, we do, because in my past experience, coupons always drive trial. So a couple of us came to the table and said, okay, let's just challenge convention and let's just prove either way, but let's just do it in a different way. So that's how this Instagram idea was born. So basically what we were finding was people were posting images of Bolthouse Farms bottles on Instagram using hashtag Bolthouse Farms. In fact, if you look on Instagram right now, I think there's about 37,000 or so images of Bolthouse Farms. So what we wanted to do was tap into a behavior that was already happening on Instagram and then reward people for doing that. So we contacted Instagram. This was about 2 years ago, just when they were launching their advertising platform. And we said, hey, we've got a little tool that we've created. It's called image recognition. If we tap into your API on the back end, will you guys be able to automatically comment to anyone that uploads an image of Bolthouse Farms with a coupon? And they're like, we've never done this before, but because you guys are low profile, because you guys are not our Naked or Adwalla, we'll do it. So we were really happy that they were willing to partner with us, let us tap into their API. But the thing that we did with this program was that we all held hands at the table. All the marketing people held hands and we said, you know what, if this fails, that's okay. If no one redeems one single coupon, we're gonna be okay with that. Because at the end of the day, at least we're partnering with a really, at that time, it was a cool up and coming kind of shiny new toy company. That in itself was our win. So we were really happy about that. And again, This cost absolutely nothing to build. It was maybe $25,000, $25,000. So we launched it and didn't launch it with any media support, just kind of threw it out there in the world. And I think that because it was already tapping into a behavior that was happening online, it killed it. It totally killed it. So within probably 10 or 15 days, hundreds of images of our bottles were now appearing on Instagram, and people were getting rewarded with a $1.50 off coupon as a result of that. In fact, people were taking photos. We had an outdoor out-of-home billboard campaign in San Francisco. People were taking images of the billboard, uploading it onto Instagram, and then getting the coupon, the $1.50 off coupon as a result of that. So I think this is a great example of just, again, kind of pushing the team, pushing each other, challenging what the data says, and finding new ways of doing things, and really challenging convention. The next and last program that I'm going to share with you, this is actually the most recent program that we did. So same story here. You know, we, as a CPG company, getting your product out into the hands of consumers to try and to sample them is hugely important. And the way that most consumer packaged goods company, the way that they do that is by hiring street teams. We've all seen it, right? You've been bombarded with samples from, you know, kids, 15-year-olds running up and down the street trying to give you a sample. That costs a lot of money. And think about it. Are you really in the mindset at that moment when you're trying to rush to work or trying to rush to an appointment to really enjoy the experience of that product? I'm not. So what we decided to do is, if we want to sample, let's sample in a different way. Let's not sample the way Naked and Odwalla samples. Let's sample and make it and do it our way. Let's challenge convention. Let's find a way to create it, a sampling experience, as part of a meal experience. So what we did is we partnered with a company called Cheft. Have you guys heard of Blue Apron, a meal kit delivery company? Yeah, okay, so Blue Apron, pretty popular meal kit delivery company based out of New York. Cheft is the competitor. They're based out of El Segundo, California. So what you can do is you can go online, you can select from 30 meals. They'll send you that one meal kit. Let's say if you want, you know, chicken curry, they'll send you the chicken curry and all the ingredients inside of it. So what we decided to do was partner with them to create a Super Bowl meal kit. So partnered up with them and the NFLPA. NFLPA brought on two Minnesota Vikings. One created the pulled pork meal. The other Minnesota Viking created the bratwurst meal. And we threw in our salad dressings and our beverages as part of the meal. So the blue cheese salad dressing was basically the dip for the chicken. The buffalo chicken wings, and then we had an arugula salad, and a balsamic vinaigrette was used for the arugula salad. And then we had a mocktail, which was using our watermelon mint lemonade drink as part of that recipe. So basically, it was a sampling experience curated within a meal kit, which was then delivered by two influencers from the Minnesota Vikings. So we always kind of refer to it jokingly inside our offices, like, instead of doing a $5 million Super Bowl commercial, this was our version of doing that, leveraging and tapping into the NFLPA and the Players Association to help us with that. So we got a ton of orders with this. Probably not as many as we had expected, but the reality is that this, again, was launched knowing that we're going to do a lot more sampling initiatives within meal kits like this, and we've actually already started with some of our other brands. So it was just a really good way, I think, for us to show that, you know, you can curate a meal and you can sample your beverage as part of a larger experience instead of just handing something randomly on the street. So I don't know if you guys remember this in the video, but we definitely believe in this 100% at Bolthouse and within C-Fresh in general. We absolutely believe that we'll be remembered not just for what we say, but for what we do. This is probably the third piece of information that's literally hanging in my office, and we are definitely a team and a brand of bold action. There are so many more programs that we have launching and rolling out, and I would say the one key thing The two main takeaways, I think, for us is always challenging that convention and always asking those questions. But I think what gives us the license to do that is we've got a mission and we've got a value that we can always go back to. So when I get pushed on and, you know, told that, no, we can't do this, I always have the license to say, but no, this is who we are as a brand. This is what we agreed to do. Let's start small. And then if it really goes big, we can think about how to push it out further into the world. But as a brand of bold action where creativity matters, I think that really does give us the license to do the things that we do, luckily. So that is it. I don't have any more case studies, but if you want to talk about some of the other things that we've got planned and up our sleeves, I'm happy to do so after this.
So Pam, thank you very much. Let's open it up for Q&A. We've got about 10 minutes, give or take. And so you know how this works. If you don't have a question, I'll start with mine, but you're first. Who's up? Anybody have a question? Okay, so Pam, I'll open it up.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about how much you look at competition as you go about all of your planning.
We look at competition a lot, a lot. We look at, I am a fierce competitor, and when I see the competition doing something that I wish I could do, it makes me mad. That's okay because they're going to continue throwing their dollars in more traditional space, and I think that they're going to use their money to buy the hearts and minds of consumers. I think we're going to use our sort of grit and our earnestness to get into the hearts and minds of customers the right way by earning brand trust.
I really, really liked your talk, first of all, and I just want to thank you for being able to admit where you have made the wrong choices and misstep. So we just kind of heard one thing. I wondered if there is something that sticks out for you, missteps that you made that you'd like to save the rest of us from.
Yes, definitely. I think the thing, I'm actually going through it right now with social media content. I'm struggling right now with evolving our content. I really believe that content needs to constantly change across platforms because the way that even I personally used Facebook 3 years ago is very different than how I used it today, same with Instagram. So I'm having a really hard time, I think, right now convincing my team, actually, of community managers and content creators that we've got to continually evolve the content that we put out in the world because it's hard. It's hard to constantly change. It's frustrating for teams. You know, they get into their groove, and then all of a sudden they have to change again. So I'm struggling with that right now. If anyone has any advice on how to manage that through, please talk to me because I think I need some advice. But that said, the way that we are trying to manage it through right now is just by really looking out there and seeing what's resonating, not just within the juice category, but just all categories in general. I actually tend not to, back to your earlier question too, I don't just look at competition because I actually think that CPG is some of the worst in social media. I actually look at other companies that I think are more lifestyle companies as my benchmark because I think there's so many other companies that are doing better. I really look at like the Sephora's and the Nikes, like those types of storytellers to help guide me. So that's what we're doing right now to help evolve our content. But it's really hard. It's really difficult to do. And I think it's okay to admit that it's hard. But it's making sure that you know you've got to get it done and there's an understanding that you've got to continue to evolve yourself and to push your team while you're at it. I hope that answered your question.
Hey, Pam. My question is, what is the relationship? So when you go big and you go bold and things fizzle, fail, don't work, what is the relationship between you and like your C-suite in having to answer for those things? If it means we lost money that we invested or if sales are down for this quarter or whatever those KPIs that you may have personally are, how do you sort of justify that up the chain?
I bring them on the journey from day one, right? So that they're invested, so that they're totally, that they're emotionally invested, and they're not all of a sudden surprised by the findings. So I try to say to them, okay, on the spectrum of results, this could happen or that could happen. And this is usually like the worst and that is usually the best. And I try to get them aligned to, and literally holding hands, that, okay, if the worst happens, at least we did it. At least we went out there and tried it. but have trust that we can continue to try to do more and more things. And I think that the Food Porn Index was a great example of beginning to establish that trust with them. But I brought them on the journey from the very beginning. Now, the flip side of that is now they kind of expect you to have more hits at a really low budget, so that puts more pressure. But the good thing is I think that they know that our budgets are so limited and they are so tight. When we kill it, they're ecstatic. So they're kind of, I'm not saying that they expect kind of middle-of-the-line results, but we've done enough expectation setting with them that, you know what, if something doesn't work, we've got another one in the pipeline ready to go that we can test to see if it works. And if that fails, then we've got another one straight up. And we really do. We probably have about 4 or 5 innovation ideas lined up over the next 6 months. So they always know, and I think that keeps them comfortable, that there's something in the background ready to come up in case something doesn't do well. Yeah, definitely. So we every year I put together, I call it the brand engagement strategy for the year. And I always let senior leadership know that I've got the license to change that strategy within 3 months or 6 months, because I don't personally believe that a strategy you develop in 2016 is going to be relevant in 2017. So I always come up and make sure that we've got ideas in the pipeline based on what the business needs are. So an example of that is we will sit down, my team will sit down with all of the key leaders of different marketing teams and say, okay, based on the business challenges and needs, what are the 3 things you really need us to focus on? And then what we'll do is start brainstorming. We have so many brainstorms at my organization. I think I've become like the brainstorm guru, literally, because I was really shitty at them like 6 months ago, and I've gotten better over time. But we just have these brainstorm pods, and we're constantly coming up with idea after idea and then throwing them to another team to see if they stick, if they make sense for that period of time. And if there's things that really do stick, then we'll develop them. We'll find a resource to come in. We don't have an agency of record. We do this all internally. But the good thing is we can do that because we've got really smart, creative people in-house that have the accountability that can help develop these ideas with us. So if the 3 ideas that we have, as an example, coming out of a brainstorm make sense, then we'll continue down the path of development. If we find that 2 months in, one of them is not so relevant anymore, we're not precious about holding on to it. We'll just throw away and come back in and brainstorm. So there's no, I would say that was the long answer. The short answer is that there's no specific process. It's all very fluid. And as long as we know that we want to have at least 6 in the pipeline, there's different ways of us getting there. And I think a lot of it is just collaborating, bringing people in, bouncing ideas off of each other, and not feeling precious about the idea that you had originally that may not be relevant in the future. We can talk more about that if that didn't totally answer your question.
Pam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've given us a lot of insight and much to think about. Thank you.
Thanks.